gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller. This is Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward over there. And in the New York Bureau, we have... Yeah, it's John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau.
My goodness, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Isn't it, though? That's from Rocky Mountain Mike.
He has the most karaoke tracks of anyone in the world.
He really does. We should tell all the folks listening in Steffland that, first off, Chris, Steph will not be here this morning.
Exactly. Her dog, Max, had a medical emergency last night, and so Steph was in the emergency room with him until about 1 this morning. So she's not able to join us this morning, but the three of us are going to be holding down the fort. And,
yes, and for all the folks in TV land, on the disembodied voice, the person you can't see on your TV, but for the radio audience, I'll be here being as disruptive as possible. And I want to just, before we start, Chris, I want to tell the folks listening that before the show began, you know, we had a conversation about the fact that this is a rather curious day on many levels for the show, number one, that Steph's not here. And I think it's the first time this has happened since you became a TV show, but also in the light of the terrible, terrible, devastating murder that has gone on in Colorado.
Right.
And I know a lot of you folks out there are just waking up to this story. Many of you may not have heard about it yet. But for those who don't know, at least 12 people were killed in Aurora, Colorado last night at the midnight screening of The Dark Knight Rises.
Right. And many more wounded.
About 50 wounded.
I think it's 38 now.
38 now. Yeah.
It was a 24-year-old male is the suspect. He fired shots throughout the theater during the actual screening of the film. Some bullets passed through the wall into the adjoining theater, injuring people watching The Dark Knight in the next screening room. And there's not a lot of information about it yet. Obviously, it's a terrific tragedy. We hope that we're not going to be seeing our friends on either side of the aisle politicizing this.
Well, hope not. But we do have Jackie Schechner in the current news center who can update us on all of the latest. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, guys.
It's a sad morning in Colorado this morning.
I was going to say nice to join you, but not under the best of circumstances.
So set the scene for us. What's the latest out of Colorado?
Well, we'll say that news is breaking very quickly, obviously, in a situation like this. We had reports earlier that as much as 14 people had been killed and 50 wounded. Now the numbers, as we said, have gone down a bit. 12 people are reported dead and 38 wounded, still obviously tragic, but it's good when the numbers go down as opposed to up in a situation like this. What we're hearing, too, is that the president is on the campaign trail in Florida, and he was scheduled originally to speak at 11:20, obviously giving a campaign speech, but now he's going to talk about the theater shooting at that 11:20 Eastern Time speech in Florida.
Okay.
Also, what we're hearing about the latest news is apparently ABC had reached the mother of this suspect, this 24-year-old James Holmes, and that she said she hadn't heard about the shooting, but the quote was, "You do have the right guy."
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what his history is that would indicate her to say that, but the quote, according to ABC, is that they do have the right person.
Okay, and I've heard the FBI is saying that there are no ties to terrorism or terrorist groups or anything like that, right?
Well, what they're saying, what's interesting, is there's no ties, obviously, to Islamic or foreign terrorism, but this doesn't mean there aren't necessarily ties to domestic terrorism. And I have a friend of mine who's actually a domestic terrorism expert, Andrew Gumbel, who's a longtime journalist for The Guardian and Independent, and wrote a book about the Oklahoma City bombing. And he's been monitoring some of these right-wing sites just to see what's popping up today.
Right.
And so far he's hearing things like, wouldn't it be something if the shooter was armed with Fast and Furious guns? Or, you know, we all need to be armed, like using the model from Israel. Or, you know, all sorts of, you know, obviously far right-wing speculation and anger, but it's certainly not the beginning or the end of this kind of speculation and vitriolic speech.
Oh. Wow.
Is it true, Jackie? There have been reports that the suspect was wearing a riot helmet, goggles, and a bulletproof vest when he entered the theater through an emergency exit?
You know, I don't know the details about that. They had said that he let off a smoke bomb, and there were some indications that he had on some sort of gas mask or had prepared to let off that kind of I guess chemical explosive.
I heard it was tear gas, and that some of the people in the theater were decontaminated for tear gas.
You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced tear gas. Unfortunately,
I haven't. No.
I have it at one point. And if you haven't, you don't really know what it is and what the sensation is. You just kind of know that it's hard to breathe and your eyes well up. And so it's possible that that's what it is, and people just don't know because they haven't experienced it before. It is kind of shocking if you don't know what to expect.
Right.
And it sounds like what they're saying is that he had a gun, a couple of guns with him, a handgun and then some sort of rifle, and then may have left another gun behind when he left the theater. But it sounds like he didn't put up any sort of fight when they found him, and he actually gave them information as to the possibility of explosives in his home, in his apartment in North Aurora. So they're there looking for that at the time, but it doesn't sound like there was any sort of indication that he fought them, and then instead he was giving them information that might lead them to averting any sort of additional tragedy.
Right, and I'm seeing on TV right now that it doesn't appear that they found any explosives in his apartment.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing so far. Same thing, and we're obviously all monitoring the same news reports. We're also hearing about Mitt Romney here. I just want to let you know what's coming is that Romney had canceled two scheduled radio interviews today. So he did have an event, I guess, in New Hampshire today, and the assumption will be that he, like the president, will speak at that event. But all other interviews have been canceled.
I'm also seeing reports from eyewitnesses that a lot of them thought that this was just part of
a
publicity stunt for the movie.
Well, that wouldn't be unheard of in terms of trying to gin up, publicity. Not obviously somebody going into a theater and shooting, but special effects or some sort of light show.
Because I guess this happened during a particularly explosive time of the movie on the screen, and so I guess something like this, I don't know. It would be a little weird to have it go on at the same time.
Well, yeah, he's probably waiting for that so that to create more confusion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a little scary, though, if you think about kind of where our security lies, if you've ever sat in a movie theater. I mean, there's always that front emergency door, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just right there. It's easy entrance.
Right. With a big sign that says exit above.
Apparently that's where he entered from.
Right. And you see people, employees from movie theaters coming and going from that all the time. I don't know where that comes in from or leads out to, but if it's that easily accessible, it's certainly something that...
usually locked from the outside, so we may have had help from
ushers. They're locked from the outside because, they don't want people sneaking in.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I used to work at a movie theater. People were always trying to hanging out the back door, hoping they could sneak in.
Absolutely,
Yeah, it's very, very tragic, and obviously this is the most anticipated film release of the year, and there's been much made of the fact that there were going to be midnight showings around the country as Friday began. So
I know we're not supposed to be speculating, but could it be this guy was a ditto head and was influenced by Russians?
I don't know that that's good to speculate at all. Right now.
Yeah, it's probably
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. All right, Jackie. Well, we will let you get back to gathering the news about this, see if anything new has happened, and we will check in with you a little bit later.
Sure. It sounds like a plan. We'll keep you posted on this, and then if there's any other developments throughout the day on other stories, of course, we'll bring those to you also.
Sounds good. Thank you. Jackie Schechter in the Current News Center. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
12 is 12 too many.
Absolutely. Yeah. But at least, the number is going down from what it was reported before. But still, 12 is too many. You're absolutely
indeed.
Right.
12 is by the way, this is just coincidentally the amount of people that were killed by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold back in 1999 in Colorado in their shooting.
Oh, my God.
So this body count has been matched in this piece of stupid, senseless violence.
There's so many parallels to this, and it was only 20 miles away from where Columbine was.
Yeah.
So I assume, it's not going to be a merry show of making fun of Ann Romney's interview with Robin Roberts yesterday.
No.
But I'm glad to be here with you guys because I have to say that if, on a morning of such tragedy like this, you want to be with your friends, you want to be with the people that you trust, and you want to be with the people who have a take on the world that's not completely dark and negative. And so I'm really honored to be joining Stephanie's show with you, Chris. You, Jim, not so much, but Chris. It makes me feel really, really good here. And, I just think we're going to try to bring what Stephanie brings every day.
Yep.
We're going to bring some joy and we're going to bring some facts and some information. Yep. And we're going to try to get more on this as the morning progresses. And we're going to try to also talk about what's going on in the world today.
Absolutely. And I just want to say that we also have some guests lined up this morning. We have Lisa Ling, on her show on the own, on Oprah's own network, she's going to be talking about Our America with Lisa Ling. She's a wonderful journalist. Holy cow. And I'm sure she might have something to say about this situation in Colorado as well.
Indeed.
Also, Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, right here in Burbank. He was sitting right in that chair just a few weeks ago. He's coming on to talk about his call to include marriage equality in the Democratic Party platform.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
As part of the actual platform?
As part of the actual platform that will be voted on at the DNC in Charlotte.
That's a pretty gutsy call. Do you guys think that that's the sort of thing that would hurt the Democratic Party with moderate voters?
No, I don't think so. Mm. Not anymore.
I don't think so either. I think after the president made his announcement that it's now going to be the new civil rights battle. It's going to be the new which side are you on?
Yeah, it actually changed overnight, the attitude of it.
Isn't it amazing how quickly it changed?
When you consider that within a matter of weeks, the NAACP had voted to approve of marriage equality, that, yeah, it really was a real sea change. And I guess we can give all the credit to Joe Biden shooting off his mouth.
Love that, Joe Biden.
Indeed.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and we are going to be taking your calls on the situation in Colorado. What do you think about it? What should be done about this sort of thing? And, maybe even just vent. So give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. I'm Chris Lavoie. That's Jim Ward. In New York, disembodied voice is John Fugel.
Eminence Grise, or Eminence Blanche, I guess we should say.
We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller Radio Show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I can feel my fire burn every time you call my name. Where would Taylor Dane be without us?
Well, exactly. Come on.
She'll be on Long Island, where she's from.
That's right. This is
Great Isle of Long.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is not here today. She is taking care of her puppy, Max. Just got an update from Stephanie on Max.
Oh.
Apparently, he had a seizure last night, or maybe ate some poison. She's not sure. Mm. The hospital's not sure. But he is stable today, and Max sends his love to all three of us here on the show. So,
I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, well. Indeed. John Fugelsang's in the New York Bureau. I'm Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And we actually have a call from Josh in Aurora, Colorado. Uh-huh. Hey, Josh. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
A little shaken up, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it kind of seems to be the general vibe around here. Kind of certainly put a cloud over the night.
Right.
So, do
you know any? Have you been to that theater, or do you know anyone who was there last night?
Several of my regulars came through. Were either going on their way to pick up relatives who work there. I had a group of survivors walk through around 3:30 in the morning.
Walk through where? Where do you work?
About a mile and a half away from that theater. I was the nearest 7-Eleven that was open.
Okay.
The one closer there got shut down. The entire road was shut down by the police. Mm. So everyone was kind of having to be diverted over to my store, and about roughly a dozen young kids came through all on foot, just happy to be alive.
I can imagine.
And,
Wow.
And I don't know, it was an interesting night, and I just like really felt the need to get hold of somebody since I was near there.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Sir, do you or does anyone you know the suspect?
No, not personally.
Okay. I guess his apartment is just a few miles away from the theater, and it looks like a relatively new theater. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been there for a couple of years.
Okay.
I mean, not like brand spanking new, but I mean, it's newer than some of the others. It's one that's got the nice theater seating and all that kind of stuff. So.
Right. Okay. Well, wow, Josh. Well, please stay safe there, and we appreciate you thinking of us and calling us. And I wish it were under better circumstances.
The only thing I can say is I really am trying to rack my brain for some explanation as to what could possibly motivate someone to do this on the opening premiere of Batman Night, and it's hard not to say it's not political. Certainly wasn't anybody drunk again into a fight.
Right.
Also, several of the witnesses also all very much said about the thing about wearing the SWAT-style gear.
Yep.
They all confirmed that to me, so.
Yeah, right. I've heard that more than once from witnesses on, TV. So
also, I've heard from some people that it was more than one guy. So I don't really know what's going on with that. I know they got the one dude.
Right. I know
they might not be one to let anyone know someone's at large, or I don't know what's
going
on.
Yeah, I know the Aurora police right now are saying that it is just one person, and that person is in custody. So,
but if he did come into the back door, someone must have let him in.
I worked at a movie theater when I was 18, mm-hmm. and yeah, I mean, if just even opening it sets off alarms that we can hear, and you know, because
right.
we don't want people sneaking out or stealing stuff. So,
right, right. All right.
But
well,
anyway,
well, stay safe.
Y'all have an excellent morning.
Thank you.
All right. Fan of the show, and thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Josh. Oh boy.
Now, AP reports that the shooter made his way up the aisle of the theater, firing as he went, saying nothing. There were children who were shot. A 3-month-old infant was shot, and apparently he was arrested by 12:30 a.m. It was a midnight screening, assuming
right.
the movie started several minutes after midnight
mm-hmm.
for previews. He was they arrested him at the multiplex at 12:30. The FBI spokesman says there's no indication so far of any connection to any terror groups.
Right.
Which is comforting, I guess, but I think the caller is correct that we're going to be hearing a lot of speculation. I don't know how much people know about the film The Dark Knight, but it's a very political film.
Yep.
It's a very politically challenging film, and as the last two Batman films have been, it deals with economics, it deals with issues of class, it deals with issues of oppression and poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And violence as a means of solving problems.
And this particular film has terrorism as
well as did the last one. The Dark Knight is a film about a terrorist who uses fear to control a political agenda and tries to get the people to turn against each other.
Right.
It is worth pointing out that Batman is a character who, especially in the film The Dark Knight, is distinct for refusing to kill anyone.
Right.
And that was his trait in Batman Begins. That's why the Liam Neeson character of Ra's al Ghul tells him his compassion is his weakness. But if this is somehow Batman related, I don't mean to trivialize the tragedy, but it is a film that's about nonviolence.
Right.
And it is a film about not taking lives to solve your problems.
Yeah, it is a superhero film, but it has some really deep, heavy themes running through it.
Indeed, as do most Christopher Nolan movies. And
yeah.
So yeah, whether it's, you know, and we say all this not to you know, talk about fantasy. We say this because in the weeks to come, it is inevitable, and you all know this, that our friends on the right and some of our friends on the left
mm-hmm.
will politicize this as much as they can.
Yeah.
Gun control is an issue that the Democratic Party has largely dropped, at least as a fundraising apparatus
right.
since the 90s, and you don't really hear a lot about it. But yeah, you know, guns are always politicized,
yep.
and you know, I'm not here to beat up our friends in the NRA, but the NRA's business, their mission is to raise funds.
Exactly.
And Fast and Furious is there. The controversy is there because the NRA needs to raise money. If you don't believe me, you can go read Catherine Eben's article in Fortune, the real story behind Fast and Furious, and
mm-hmm.
learn what that's about. So it's inevitable that this will be used for political ends on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, we just hope that we can find a way to get y'all the information while also, you know, I wouldn't say that today's show is going to be a goofy or a mirthful show, but I'd love to try to find any kind of positivity to get through our day.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's as Gandhi said, I object to violence because when it appears to do good, the only good is temporary. The evil it does is permanent.
Yeah. And I know what I used to work in right-wing talk radio. I know what the argument is going to be today. If everybody had been armed in that theater.
They've already been making that argument.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Then there'd be more dead people.
Exactly.
And you're right, Jim. There'd be a lot more dead people because if everyone had been armed, you would look around. You'd see one guy holding a gun, pointing it that you thought looked like the guy doing the shooting. You'd hear a pop and you'd start shooting.
The police wouldn't know
falling all over the place.
The police wouldn't know who to shoot if everyone mm-hmm. is armed.
Yeah, it would just be utter chaos inside that dark theater.
Mm-hmm.
Darkened room.
There are a lot of reports on the Twitter machine that the shooter is a Tea Party member, but that has not been confirmed yet.
Twitter is not famous for its fact checking.
Well, no, but I think it's a good time to caution our liberal friends that, you know, you don't want to engage in that kind of rumor mongering until you know for a fact, because you can't go in accusing the right wing of politicizing these sort of things and then be guilty of it yourself.
Exactly.
So, you know, I would advise all of our very cool step heads to hold off on that until we hear more.
Absolutely. All right, it is 29 minutes after the hour. We're going to be taking a break right now, and we'll be back with Lisa Ling from Our America with Lisa Ling on the OWN Network. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Chris, Jim, and John filling in for Steph. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
an unusual experience with
Stephanie Miller
last night.
Really? How could you tell?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie's not here today. She is taking care of her puppy, Max. So you got Chris, you got Jim, and you got John Fugelsang in our New York Bureau. How are you doing?
I'm great, Chris. Thank you. How are you doing this morning?
Well, you know, it's kind of a sad morning in Aurora, Colorado, but we are following the breaking news, and we're going to be bringing it to you as it becomes available.
And I'm glad that even though Stephanie's not here, we're still broadcasting, because it is a good opportunity to, you know, try to be here and bring people the information as it comes out.
Right.
But also, you know, to continue Stephanie's show, and what I like about this radio show is that it's a show about intelligence and joy.
Yep.
And it's a positive show. It's a political show, but it's always very positive. And for me, it's very important today that we respect this tragedy and yet try to, you know, get in touch with our own spiritual side, our own aversion to nonviolence, our own need to find something good to come of this tragedy, to find some way to not be just overwhelmed by the devastating loss. And I'm really thrilled about the guest you guys have booked today, because I think when you think about American journalists, I think Lisa Ling is really the perfect person to interview on a day like this. She's the perfect journalist because she's the kind of person who I think really loves America for what it is without politicizing it. You know, when you see a Lisa Ling report, you know you're going to get something that's uniquely American, but not political and not about taking sides or dividing people, but what's about the country's heart and soul. And to that end, she has a brand new series on the OWN network that I'm very excited about, which is called Our America with Lisa Ling. Every week she's going to take viewers for an in-depth look at some of the most controversial and thought-provoking issues in the U.S. today. And so I'm really thrilled that she's here. Well, I'm sorry Stephanie's not, but please welcome to the show Lisa Ling.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. What a pleasure. And I'm really, really honored you're here. And I thank you very much for keeping the interview in light of this horrible tragedy out of Aurora, Colorado.
Yes, well, thank you for the kind things that you said. And my condolences, my deepest condolences go out to the family members of those killed in Colorado. What a devastating, devastating thing that's happened. And I hope that the people there will be able to find some peace.
Well, we were saying earlier, Lisa, that regardless of your political affiliation, I think it's very important that, you know, good, decent folks on both sides of the aisle try to avoid using a day like this to politicize their issues and try to let our hearts and
emotions go out. It seems like we do so much of that, don't we?
Well, we do,
and it's on
both sides. Yeah, within the next hour, we're going to have a million people on the right saying that, that you know, Barack Obama is going to use this to take away your guns. We'll have a million people on the left saying this is the Tea Party and Rush Limbaugh caused it.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like, while that's a very human reaction and a very understandable reaction for folks of whatever ideology they have, I think that it's really, really important out of respect for those who've been lost and those who've been injured to try to avoid letting our own personal needs get in the way of grieving.
Absolutely. And it's so true. It is something that we try very hard to do on our show, is to not make things political in any way. I mean, what we try to do, we cover such a wide range of topics and subcultures in America, but my hope is that people will watch with a sense of compassion and better understand the people with whom we share this country, who also inhabits the same space that we do, and possibly learn something in the end, because I do feel that we are more evolved as people the more we know about each other.
I agree with you, and so your show, Our America with Lisa Ling, is one of the reasons why I love your programming and everything you do, because you really do take people around to see a side of America they don't normally see every week.
Well, we certainly try to. I mean, we cover things as vast as people who are living under the poverty line, beneath the poverty line for the first time, but also we have an episode about people who are living alternative sexual lifestyles who call themselves swingers, and that's about 15 million Americans. We do a show about arranged marriages in America, about the culture of child beauty pageants, the crisis on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. So my hope is that, you know, people will come to be enlightened, and I think that one of the reasons why the show is doing well, and I'm thrilled that it is, because it's so different than a lot of these sort of loud, sensational shows on TV.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, I think that people do want to know what's happening in a way that is respectful and not exploitative.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's what I go to you for. You're one of the best in the business on that. And your episode this Tuesday, July 24th, is the one that will look at Americans who have fallen behind the poverty level for the first time. Lisa, I'm sorry that on the day of your interview with a comedy radio show that's so much steeped in tragedy, but I thank you for the grace and intelligence that you bring to everything you do.
And I love your show, by the way. I really do watch it every week. It's absolutely fascinating, and you do such a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And hopefully the next time I come on, we can have some fun.
Yes, absolutely. We will do that. All right. Thank you for joining us, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Wow. Yeah.
Lisa Ling.
Yep. I really do watch her show every week. And she's gone inside, evangelical camps and just, wonder why people give themselves, fully to, not really God, but to the preacher in front of them. And she goes behind the scenes of child beauty pageants and the madness that goes on there. So
and other cults.
Yeah, it's such a wide-ranging subjects that she covers. It's absolutely fascinating.
And we should point out that it was her sister Laura who was one of the two American journalists who were detained in North Korea, and President Clinton went over and was able to secure their freedom from Kim Jong-il.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
Of course, her sister is a producer for Current TV, where we're broadcasting right now on Stephanie's TV show.
All comes full circle.
Well, full disclosure, So, and I'm glad that we kept the booking. I'm glad that we kept the interview scheduled, Chris. And I thank you for it, because I just think that it's not the day to get partisan who's going to come and make hay out of this.
Right now, Courtney over at Current just sent me a story from ABC News, Brian Ross, their lead investigative reporter over there, and he and George Stephanopoulos suggested that the Tea Party might be connected to the mass shootings early this morning in Aurora, Colorado. Now, that's just one person, but he is an investigative reporter, well-respected within the industry.
But there is some precedent for this with Glenn Beck and the Tides Foundation, which no one had ever heard of until he mentioned it, and then suddenly somebody's up there shooting up the place.
Yeah.
So,
ABC, apparently ABC has reported it, and the right wing is already coming down really hard on ABC.
On ABC,
so again, until there's any kind of confirmation, I don't think we can do it.
Exactly. Well, let's go to James in Georgia. He has a different take on the situation in Colorado. Good morning, James.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. What's going on?
I saw this story where you got some lunatic with a gun out there gunning people down, and I think it's a very horrific tragedy. Yeah. They need to take this individual and give him his due process rights. And if he's found guilty by a jury of his peers, hopefully you'll have a judge that'll give him the proper sentence for this. I think a good hanging would be in order.
Well, I would have to disagree with you on that one, sir. I don't really think that. I think what we're learning here is that violence and killing people is not the way to go. And just me personally, I don't speak for the show. I don't understand why we kill people who kill people to show that killing people is wrong. I'm with Jesus on that, and I don't think that more violence solves anything. I think that when someone takes a life, they should be denied their liberty for as long as their victim remains dead.
Yep, I think so, too. Let's go to Paul in Boulder City, Nevada. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Chris, Jackie, Jim, John, Rebecca, and Stephanie. There.
Yeah, pretty much everybody. Stephanie's listening, though, so we can say hi to her.
Yeah, I don't understand how, they don't call this terrorism. I mean, when you plan to go out and procure, SWAT gear, and you get guns and shotguns, and you plan on killing innocent people, and, let's not forget, too, this is a desperate time. Everybody's feeling desperate. And you have, people speaking fear and injecting fear and, telling everybody to be afraid of, everybody else and, it's very irresponsible. I mean, like Sharon Engel saying she's going to, use her Second Amendment rights to fix things if she's not elected. Yep. And
that was a terrible thing for an elected official to say.
Well, she wasn't she was elected.
The shooting in Tucson. I mean, it's really there. It is terrorism. And Janet Napolitano even did a report, talking about, right wing ideologues and that it was a prominent problem.
Yeah, and it is, but I want to take issue with one thing you said. I don't think we can call this terrorism yet. We don't know what was going on with Mr. Holmes. We don't know if Mr. Holmes is the guy. He's just the suspect they have. You can't call it terrorism if there's no political agenda. Terrorism is when someone uses fear to bring about social or political change, right? Mm-hmm. We can agree on that.
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there using fear. There's a lot of elected officials and a lot of supposedly respected pundits.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
And representatives of this government.
I agree with you. That's very, very true. But I don't think we can use the term here yet because we don't know what this shooter's motivation was. Did he have some sort of issue economically, politically, religiously, or is he just a disturbed guy who wanted to hurt somebody? We don't know yet, so I don't.
Or is he just another Timothy McVeigh? I mean, Timothy McVeigh was politically motivated, too.
Timothy McVeigh was a terrorist, absolutely.
Yep.
There's no doubt about
absolutely.
That. Absolutely.
But they want to call them lone wolves. They call them lone wolves so it doesn't associate them with this terrorist rhetoric that we keep hearing, you know, this terror
absolutely.
Rhetoric.
Absolutely. I'm just saying I don't want to slap that label on this incident yet until we know what it's really about.
Right. It's way too early. It only happened 6 hours ago, so.
I agree with you. You know, I'd like to say just one other thing, and that has to do with Citizens United. I don't understand why we're not talking about the tool that's readily available to us through the Constitution called impeachment. These justices have showed themselves to be, you know, politically partisan, and they're also influenced corruptly. I don't see why we can't, use that tool, and I don't know why it's not even being talked about.
Well, it's not being talked about because that's not usually how Democrats operate.
Right.
And, you know, I think the reason why there was such a response to the ad with Mitt Romney singing America the Beautiful, mm-hmm. I think it's because two generations of people are not used to seeing Democrats go on offense.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people were surprised to see the Democratic. Normally, it's the Democratic politician who's defending himself all the time. And this is one of the few times we've seen the Democrats taking a fight to their opponents. And so if you had, I think you would have seen a conservative move to impeach Justice Souter a lot sooner than you would have seen a progressive move to impeach Justice.
Well, the right wing was all over.
Yeah, but didn't Jefferson say that you have to defend the country and the Constitution from domestic threats as well as foreign?
Absolutely.
And they're injecting foreign money into our election process and corrupting it.
It would be great to see someone lead a movement like that, even if they did it symbolically to shine light on the situation, but I don't think it's politically advantageous for most politicians to launch a crusade of that sort.
Yep.
Don't you agree?
I just don't think.
You know, you're looking at politicians here, and what do they have to gain from trying to impeach a Supreme Court justice?
Exactly. All right, we're going to be taking a break.
When they can raise money from doing it, they'll do it.
Yep. We're going to be taking a break here. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris. That is Jim. And in New York is John Fugelsang. I'll be taking more of your calls on the situation in Aurora, Colorado next here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, we can't have her. She's not here today.
She's not, but her dog is okay.
That
we're
is right.
Happy. We're very happy to get that.
That is right. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau. We are hosting for Stephanie today because she is at home with Max, who fell ill last night. And he is stable this morning, but Steph was out late last night, so. We are doing the show today and covering everything that is coming out of Aurora, Colorado.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. You know, I was on the Ed Show last night and having a very fun and spirited panel discussion. And I got home and I was working on all the different jokes and funny things and different ways of making fun of Mitt Romney. I wanted to cover on your show this morning.
I know.
And then you have an incident like this devastating tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, and you realize that, you know, look, I've always believed that the politicians and the 1% in the media want us fighting. You know, they want us to fight each other. It's good for ratings. It's good for votes. It's good for profits. But at the end of the day, we all share a common humanity. And I do think this is the kind of day where we have to try to transcend political sides just a bit, even though there's a big temptation on the left to blame the Tea Party before we know all the facts. big temptation on the right to go ahead and blame gun control advocates for, I mean, I don't know how you can really blame people who want less guns for gun violence, but apparently from what you told me, Chris, that Ms. Malkin has already begun doing this.
Michelle, no one has talked about it yet, except for the right wing.
The right wing is just getting really defensive about this already.
They're very defensive, but that's because a lot of folks on the left are already saying it's the Tea Party before all the facts are in. Now, earlier this morning...
Well, not just people on the left.
No. We had on ABC News, we had...
Brian Ross. Their lead investigative reporter. He was suggesting that it was Tea Party related. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not reporting that.
There's a Colorado Tea Party Patriots page for a Jim Holmes who lives in Aurora. Mm-hmm. So the speculation is that this is the same shooter, the 24-year-old suspect. What you're having now is a lot of folks on the right saying, oh, ABC has got it in for the Tea Party, and they went and searched Tea Party and Jim Holmes and found a guy named Jim Holmes. It's a common name.
It is a common name.
So, you know, already, you know, and this is just depressing because already we're at each other's throats instead of just trying to, like, make sense of the tragedy.
Right.
People are looking for an angle, and that again, it's very human, but I think that here's what sucks about being a liberal. You have to be the good guy.
Yeah.
You have to be above it all. You have to be the adult in the room. You can't resort to calling names. I mean, you can if it's funny and clever. Go ahead. God bless. But generally, if you're a liberal, that means you're on the side of doing the right thing.
Compassion.
You're on the side of compassion. You're on the side of goodness, on the side of taking the hit when you need to for the greater good. And so I encourage all of our progressive brothers and sisters out there, be mad about violence. Be mad about gun violence. Be mad about evilness that exists in men and the propensity for it that probably exists in all of us. But don't go pointing fingers until we have all the facts yet, because it makes your side look really bad.
Absolutely. Jeannie in Cleveland, Ohio, has something to say about the shooting at the Batman premiere last night. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm really angry about the shooting, and I hope the NRA is listening to this, and I hope maybe something can be done to get the guns out of the hands of people like this, and the access should be lessened. It's just, how many more people have to die before, you know, people start have to wake up?
Michelle Malkin is already all over that, saying that this
it's
is a ploy to implement gun control.
I mean, you can't even go to the theater and enjoy yourself and then watch a movie. And
This is something that all of us have done so many times, so it really could be any one of us. That's what makes this so horrific.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrific. It is horrific. It's just, you know, it's very upsetting. I wish I just wish people would come together in the government and, you know, do something about this, because, you know, every so often we get these mass shootings. And it's because the access to these weapons is so ready. You know, people can get it any time, anywhere.
You're very right. Mm-hmm. It's way too easy to get guns in this country. And
absolutely.
That was the essence of the Fast and Furious scandal, was that, you know, you had guys coming in to buy bulk number of guns from a
gun
rogue.
Shows.
Yeah, and they weren't even old enough to buy a beer yet.
Yep,
but you can legally buy, you can walk into a hotel room with $20,000, walk out with as many semi-automatic weapons as you want when you're under age 21, and that's legal in this country.
Yep. That's horrifying. Yeah. Keith in Ann Arbor, Michigan, is a two-time vet, and he has something to say about guns. Good morning, Keith.
Yeah, man. Hey, what's going on, Mooks and John?
Hey. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
What's happening? Hey, man, first of all, my prayers go out to the families that were affected by this.
Right.
Also, my prayers go to Stephanie and her dog, because I know how, you know, loving an animal is. But I'm a veteran of the Marine Corps and the Army.
And thank you for your service.
Wow.
Thank you. And when I got out, you know, the Army, that was my second tour, I said, you know, there's really no need for me to even own a gun, you know, because of the fact that, you know, it doesn't, you know, affect my life in any way. But my point is that I don't think that nobody should own a gun until at least they're 25 years old. And I want to give another point to you, John.
Yes, sir.
Because I heard you on the Ed Show last night, and you were saying things like about dog whistles. And, you know, there's a lot of dog whistles being blown, and people are hearing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to do something about, you know, these gun laws where, you know, kids that are, you know, aren't even able to take care of themselves are able to go out and buy a gun. And I'll let you guys go ahead and talk. And thank you. I've been listening to you guys for years, and this is my first call, but I just feel really bad for the families that were affected by this. And you guys go ahead.
But thank you. Can I ask you a question? Are you still there?
Yeah,
is he gone? One question for you. What was it that made you decide when you returned to the States that you didn't need to carry a gun?
Because, man, I mean, like, you know, it's not in my nature. When I was in the Marines, I really discovered that, you know, guns weren't in my nature. And, you know, I'm from Michigan. My dad used to take me hunting when I was young. And, you know, when I got out the Marines, I stopped hunting. And then when, you know, they called me back because of my MOS for the Army, you know, like, you know, I just really didn't have that urge to carry a gun anymore, you know. And I'm legally able to buy a gun and carry if I wanted to, because I'm a Democratic delegate here, you know. And the thing of it is that, you know, what you talked about last night with that Michelle Bachmann thing, people are listening to this stuff, you know, and it's crazy, but you know. I just want you guys to elaborate on that a little more. Because
thank you.
And we're going to have to do that after the top of the hour. And we're going to be talking with Jackie Schechner after the top of the hour. Get all of the latest out of Aurora, Colorado. This is the Stephanie Miller.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am not Stephanie Miller. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. John Fuglesang is in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fuglesang. Stephanie is not here today because her puppy Max had a medical issue last night. She took him to the emergency room. Didn't get home until about 1 a.m. And Max is stable now, but she's just sitting by his bedside. I'm just checking in on him. So we've got the show covered today. It is a big, huge breaking news day. And let's see. Well, why don't we just bring in Jackie Schechner from the Current News Center to just kind of set the scene and tell us what's going on in Aurora, Colorado. Hey, Jackie.
Good morning.
So what's going on at the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado?
Well, first of all, nice job holding down the fort today, Chris.
Thank
you. It's a rough day to have to do this, and you're certainly handling it with great grace and dignity.
And
so
I'm getting a lot of help from John Fuglesang and Jim Ward. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The three of you are doing a great job. So the latest that we're hearing, first of all, and we should probably say this, is that we want to be careful here and everywhere not to speculate too much.
Right.
Because in these breaking news situations, there's always a rush to get it first, and you want to make sure that you get it right before you get it first.
Right.
Nate Silver at 538 points out, by his estimation, and there's 25 people named James Holmes in the Denver metro area.
Exactly.
So people should be very careful who they implicate by doing any sort of web search or any sort of assumptions. But what we're hearing is mostly on the political front right now in terms of people canceling events or changing up their day schedules. Mitt Romney's canceled all of his interviews for the day. The president's going to change his speech that was originally scheduled to be a campaign speech in Fort Myers. That's going to be at 11:20 Eastern time. That'll be discussing the Colorado shooting. Reports out that the president has already spoken with the mayor of Aurora, and that his first concern when hearing about the news this morning was that everyone was out of danger and there was not a threat to anybody when he heard the shooting had happened. So his first concern, obviously, was that the incident had been completed and that there was not ongoing threats to the people of Aurora. So that's the latest that we're hearing now as far as actual information about the incident itself. Our numbers are still pretty much the same, the 12 people killed.
Right.
And originally we had 50 injured, then had gone down to 38. The AP is still sticking by 50. So we're just going to say somewhere between 38 and 50. And as we reported in our little news break at the top of the hour, that not everybody had been shot, that apparently the injuries ranged from obviously the shootings, but also from people who were being treated for chemical exposure or for shrapnel wounds.
Oh, wow.
So it's not necessarily all of those injured have been shot. And there was a three or four-month-old we heard who had been injured. That infant has been released from the hospital, according to the local NBC affiliate in Denver. So some good news on that front, but our numbers seem to be shifting just a touch.
Right, as they're going to in a breaking news situation like this. Have we heard anything more from eyewitnesses who may have seen something, you know, that we hadn't heard before?
You know, we're everything that I'm seeing is basically what we talked about a little bit earlier. John had mentioned that perhaps the shooter had kind of stalked the aisles, and that's what we're hearing, that he entered through an emergency door at the front of the theater, that he stalked the aisles, that he had a gas mask and a handgun, a rifle, and that there was a third gun that was left behind in the theater.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's what we're hearing at this point. And we're just hearing more and more reaction coming in. I mean, obviously, Twitter's a great place for information. It's also a great place for speculation.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful who you
exactly.
follow and nitpick your information with a discretionary eye. But certainly of the reporters that are doing good work and putting out their most instantaneous information via Twitter, it's a good place to follow those folks from, obviously, the networks and the cable news stations.
And when I got up this morning, there were quite a few people, quite a few eyewitnesses just tweeting what they were seeing, and it was absolutely fascinating to watch. You know, one girl was saying, I can't find my boyfriend Alex. I can't find him. Anybody know where he is? And it was just heartbreaking. Ugh.
You know, this is really an indication of every town USA, and that's the saddest part. Sam Stein at the Huffington Post has found out that Aurora was named one of the country's safest cities by Forbes back in December. It was number 9 on the list of the 10 safest cities in America. So it really points out that this is not necessarily, I would say, region-specific, right? I mean, whatever this
it can happen anywhere.
It can happen anywhere, and that's the scariest part.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Jackie, we appreciate you keeping on top of this, and we'll let you get back to monitoring all of the news, and we will talk to you at the top of the hour.
You got it.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Jackie Schechner in the Current News Center. And right now,
I just want to say from the UK, the Daily Mail Online does report that the police have surrounded James Holmes' house and that witnesses report sounds of an explosion coming as a police robot entered the apartment, which is now being called booby-trapped. Yeah.
Okay.
So, we don't know anything about it. This is from the Daily Mail UK, and we'll let you more as we find out.
All right. Right now, we'd like to bring on Andrew Gumbel. He is an author and journalist who has written extensively about right-wing extremism and mass shootings. Thank you for joining us, Andrew, at such short notice.
You're very
good
welcome.
Morning.
So, gosh, this really could happen anywhere in America, is what Jackie Schechner was reporting. What's your take on it?
A few things. I mean, I've looked at a bunch of these mass shootings over the years. You know, Columbine was perhaps the biggest and the most startling to date, at least up to now. A few things always tend to happen. The first thing is that the news that comes out in the first few hours is almost always distorted or wrong. Mm-hmm. So we should be very careful about what we're hearing, you know, in the opening of the reporting on this case. Another thing that's really striking is that a lot of these shootings tend to happen in white suburban communities. The ones that are usually considered to be very safe and desirable. That was true of Columbine, which is on the other side of Denver. It's true here in Aurora. It was true in a number of other places where there were school shootings, office shootings, and so on.
You get a different shooting as well.
And, you know, I don't know what meaning you can ascribe to this, except I think that the main point that tends to be missed in these shooting incidences is that everybody will blame this on all sorts of things. It'll be blamed on President Obama. It'll be blamed on the movies. It'll be blamed on moral degeneracy. It'll be blamed on some kind of music. Who knows what? But no one will really want to get to grips with the key issue, I believe, and the one that, you know, certainly looking from outside the United States is the most obvious, is the terrifying ease of access to really scary weaponry by ordinary people who may be mentally disturbed, they may be criminals, or both. And that, you know, tends not to get discussed. It gets raised on the margins, but it usually gets countered with the argument, well, if more people were armed in public, then we could do a better job of stopping these incidences before they got out of control, which seems to me, you know, a very alarming way of taking the argument. It's interesting now in the context of what's been going on earlier in the year. You know, gun control was really a dead issue for a very long time. Then we had the Trayvon Martin incident in Florida, the controversy over the Stand Your Ground laws. And then we've also had the gun walking scandal, Fast and Furious, on the border between Arizona and Mexico. It'll be very interesting to see if there's any, you know, political gas in the tank, as it were, for a real discussion about gun control now. That's really an open question, I think.
Well, you are right, Andrew, that it's going to be politicized no matter what. And one of the things that you've talked about in your reporting is that much of what people hear in the first few hours after an incident like this is usually a bit distorted, correct?
That's true. I mean, one other thing that I think is very interesting, you know, as a Brit, I'm old enough to remember when Clockwork Orange, the Stanley Kubrick movie came out, there was a string of copycat attacks on people, not in the movie theater, but outside the movie theater, as a result of which Kubrick himself withdrew the film from distribution in the UK.
And the film is still not available to be seen in the UK, correct?
Not in movie theaters, that's correct.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's going to be some really interesting questions that will be discussed intelligently and probably also less intelligently about the relationship between what triggers disturb people to act and what they may be receiving from popular culture. I had a very interesting conversation a few years ago with Park Dietz, who's a psychologist, a criminal profiler. You know, I was a skeptic as to whether things in the movies really prompt people to commit violent acts. And this is what he had to say. He said it's not that there's a direct relationship between what's on screen and what happens in real life. But if there's stuff that happens on screen, especially if it's associated with any kind of sexual stimulation, even perverted sexual stimulation, you have people sitting around the country, you know, with the proverbial assault weapon on their knees, waiting to do something, about to explode. There can be any number of different triggers, and one possible trigger is something like that. Mm. And one thing that's very striking from the early reporting, and to go back on what I said earlier, this could turn out to be wrong. The shooter apparently was wearing a gas mask. The villain in this movie wears some kind of gas mask for the movie. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't speak to that in great detail. But it does raise the question of whether there was something about this movie that triggered this particular shooter. And again, I wouldn't ascribe any kind of responsibility to the filmmakers, but I think there is something there that is disturbing and interesting to explore.
Well, terrorism is, you know, a plot point front and center in this particular movie. Now, it did just open last night, and this was the very first showing of it, so I don't know how the shooter could have known, you know, the whole plot line of the movie, but, you know, I think pretty much everybody knows from the previews that, you know, a football stadium gets blown up in this movie.
Right.
But, you know, it's fair to point out that in the comic book, the character of Bane, who's been around for 19 years, he wears a mask because he's a drug addict, and he gets his drug that way in vapor form. So it's not actually like he goes around setting off tear gas.
Right.
This guy may have just been wearing a gas mask because he had a military fetish and he was going to set off tear gas in the theater.
Yeah. Right. Again, we just don't know at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah. It only happened 7 hours ago. So,
I mean, one thing that I find heartening, and again, this is based on my experience of reporting on Columbine, is the fact that it appears the FBI has taken control. And I'm sure every local cop and law enforcement person in America will be groaning as I say that. But one of the big problems at Columbine was that the local sheriff's department did not control the information adequately. They put things out in the public that were wrong. Mm-hmm. They did not conduct a good investigation, as came out, you know, many years later when finally all the documents became available. I think the fact, you know, the FBI is not a flawless organization, and I've written very critically about them in the past, but I think the fact that the grown-ups are minding the store is probably a good thing in this case.
Well, the FBI has a lot more experience in something of this magnitude. Local cop jurisdictions just don't usually, fortunately.
That's correct. And again, one of the aspects of these suburban or exurban communities, and again, I'm not deeply familiar with Aurora, is that, you know, the local sheriff's department tends to be very dispersed, very widespread. They may not have a lot of experience of violent crime. You know, if you have people with direct experience of handling firearms, of handling dangerous criminals, you know, the chances are they will get to the bottom of it faster. You know, again, the FBI makes mistakes too, but it seems that that's the appropriate agency in this case to be minding the store.
Andrew, I agree with you about how it's important not to politicize these events. Of course, here in the States, we saw with the Fort Hood shootings, that shooter was immediately accused of being an organized Muslim terrorist. With the Gabby Gifford shooting, that killer was initially believed to be both a Tea Party member or an extreme liberal. Neither proved to be the case. Having said that, and again, we're trying very hard in the show not to get into too much speculation, I do want to ask you about something you said about 2 minutes ago, which is how the UK feels about the access to guns in America. Is that something that is really, you know, conspicuous about our national identity to our friends overseas?
Absolutely. It's not just the UK. I mean, I've lived in a number of different countries, and, you know, it's striking to everybody how, you know, stunning a contradiction there is between, you know, fear for the country's security, the whole Department of Homeland Security, everything that happened in the wake of 9/11. On the one hand, and on the other hand, the fact that ordinary people can get a hold of very dangerous weaponry with remarkable ease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it appears, and again, underline appears, that James Holmes had access not only to firearms but also to explosives. And, you know, we don't know if he got these things legally or illegally, but either way, getting them is not a difficult thing to do in this country. It's much, much harder in other countries. And, of course, there have been shootings in other countries. People do get access to firearms. We had the horrible shootings in Norway last year.
That's right.
There have been shootings in Germany and Britain, you know, in a number of places. But the bar is set much higher because firearms are not readily available to ordinary citizens.
Yeah.
And,
you know, this is what
it's not a popular thing to say in the United States because of the Second Amendment, because people's interpretation of it, the sense that, you know, American freedom is bound up in the freedom to buy firearms and own them. But it is, you know, at the bottom line, it is a major security problem.
Well, you know, you have the freedom to drive a car, too, but that doesn't mean you should allow blind people to do it. I mean, there's got to be some standard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keeping guns away from, out of the hands of...
Yep, absolutely. Andrew Gumbel is an author and journalist who has written extensively about right-wing extremism and mass shootings. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You really brought a lot of insight.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau. I'll be right back taking your calls on the shootings in Aurora, Colorado, next here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. I want to be your papa. I want to be your mother and your sister too. I want to be your lover. I want to turn you on, overflow, and make you just my papa.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau today, holding things down there. Stephanie's not here today. She's taking care of her puppy, Max, who had a medical issue last night. So we wish her well. Max is stable and doing fine. So we are holding down the fort here. 1-800-STEP-12 is the phone number, and we're taking your calls on the shooting in Aurora, Colorado last night at the premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. 12 people were killed. And there are conflicting reports, but the AP is still reporting that 50 people were injured. Between 38 and 50, absolutely. So let's go to Michelle in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She has something to say about the shootings last night. Hey, Michelle.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. What did you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to comment. I mean, just like Sarah Palin, when she was saying about the crossbow, and even this lady, Gabby Griffin, gets on TV to tell her to repudiate what she said. She didn't do it. This woman gets shoots in the head. Rush Limbaugh, ignorant tale, gets on TV saying about the Batman movie, about Bane comparing it with the Democrats. Then he tried to go back and change it. Now this happens at the theater. And then I have one more comment with the health care law. For those people who act like they don't want it, why not put your name, date of birth, social security number in the database? And when you and your family show up at an emergency room, you should be rejected unless you got cash money to pay for whatever you're going to, the emergency room, pediatrician, I mean, nursing home, clinic. If you so much claim you don't want it, that's just like cancer, a pre-existing condition. If that cancer comes back and that treatment is $100,000, let's say $50,000, even if it was $1,000, you should go in your pocket and pay cash money for it since you so much claim that you don't want the health care law or you are against the health care bill.
Yeah, that kind of gets rid of the hypocrisy, doesn't it?
It sure does.
So, I mean, call you bluff. If you so much claim you don't want it, put you and your family name in a database, and when your social security number pop up, date of birth, you just don't get treated unless you go in your pocket and pay cash money. Let me see how many Republicans going to do that. Unless you feel the rich like Mitt Romney, it doesn't matter. And I don't understand how Republicans, you may have a few million dollars, but you are not as rich as Mitt Romney. Exxon and all these corporations, they can afford to be ignorant like Mitt Romney. But let these people keep on messing with me. And like Ann Romney, I don't like to use race, but sir, I'm a woman. Cancer don't discriminate.
That's right.
This was a rich white woman and had breast cancer. And if it ever were to come back, God forbid, cancer didn't care. Aaron knew as a rich white woman when she got it, and if it comes back, it ain't gonna give a damn.
I think she's MS.
I don't think she's had cancer. I know she has multiple sclerosis.
Well, they said breast cancer, multiple sclerosis.
Oh, she did. Okay.
But whatever it is, just the fact that it doesn't matter. You are a rich white. Yeah. I don't care what kind of illness. We all are subject to catch whatever, whether you're rich, white, black, poor. And as a woman, I lost our respect for her when Mitt Romney talking about closing down Planned Parenthood. Women, of course, breast cancer. I mean, hell, you got breast yourself. I mean, I'm pretty sure you go get examined. So why not the average woman who can? And all Obama is trying to do, God forbid, he has a daughter and a wife.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to those three women, he's just trying to fix it.
Yep.
Us women get the same treatment. He's a man.
Absolutely.
Whatever happened to him, he's trying to fix it where you men get the same treatment.
That's right.
That's what he's trying to do.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Michelle.
And also, all the Republicans who are against so-called Obamacare get free health care from being part of the government.
And again, we got to say again, if you didn't like Rush Limbaugh trying to politicize the Batman movie with Bane, don't fall into the same trap until you have all the facts today.
Exactly. Got to take a break now here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We got Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, coming up next here at the bottom of the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that
Stephanie Miller
was a stripper.
As well you should.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. Coming in the door right now is Jim Ward. And John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau.
Good morning.
Good morning. And, we got quite the busy news morning this morning. A shooting in Colorado at a theater showing the premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. At least 12 people dead, at least 38 people hurt in the shooting, and we've been covering the news all morning long, and ready to touch on that as well as on his call to include marriage equality in the Democratic Party platform.
Yeah, I'm ready for something positive to come out of Washington, D.C., and I think you have the perfect guest for that.
Exactly. Representative Adam Schiff from right here in Burbank is on the line with us. Good morning, Representative Schiff.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us this morning.
You bet.
It's very exciting, sir, to see that you've announced that you are seeking to have your fellow congressman sign on to the Freedom to Marry letter to get the Democratic Party platform to include marriage equality as part of the platform. Congratulations. And I guess I'd like to begin by I want to ask your thoughts on today's tragedy in Colorado. But I'm so inspired by what you're doing. I want to ask, what was it that motivated you to try to incorporate marriage equality into the DNC platform?
Well, I thought California had a real leadership role it could play by bringing the California delegation together and organizing our Democratic voices in Congress and urging that the party adopt this as one of its planks. It's in the finest tradition of the Democratic Party to stand for equality and equal rights for all Americans. It's a way to make our union a more perfect union, and I'm very proud to say that my Democratic House colleagues quickly joined the cause, and we now have the overwhelming majority of California Democratic House members urging the party to adopt this platform. And I also had a good meeting with our party chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she is very supportive, very hopeful, very confident that we can make this happen. So I'm very pleased about that. In terms of Colorado, I share your condolence over this. It's just unbelievably horrific, and I particularly feel for the people of Colorado having to go through a trauma like this again. And our thoughts are going out to everyone out there.
Indeed. Well, we are seeing, of course, as can be predicted, sir, all manner of accusations being hurled on both sides, and of course, by the end of the day, I'm sure everyone in America will have blamed someone in America for it. But it's one of the reasons why we're very happy to have you here. We're trying to hold back on having any speculation or judgment on what was motivating the shooter or what their political affiliation was until we get all the facts. And in the meantime, I can't tell you how much all of us at the show appreciate having you here with something so positive for America. And so I thank you for that, in addition to your regular service. And I have to say, it's especially inspiring, considering that it was 8 years ago, in the 2004 election, that Karl Rove made marriage equality the number one wedge issue in American politics. Could you have guessed back then, in 2004, that in less than a decade, we'd have a president endorsing marriage equality and have it possibly be on the verge of being in the Democratic Party platform? And
no,
some Republicans supporting it.
It is astounding, and it's just a sign of how quickly attitudes in the country are changing, and how much this issue is moving, you know, with light speed. And it's really remarkable, and it's interesting too how much the Republican Party has chosen really not to attack the president over this issue. And I'm sure there are parts of the country where they are, but you can imagine 8 years ago what a field day Karl Rove would have had if the Democratic nominee or Democratic incumbent had said what this president has said. So,
or
really,
if Mr. Cheney's daughter had married her longtime partner 8 years ago,
yes,
that would have put Mr. Rove in quite a bind.
Yes, it would have. It is extraordinary, and I think it's amazing to see even the change in attitude since the president's announcement, which I think really got many people in the country thinking that maybe hadn't focused on this, or it opened their minds to view the issue in a different way. So it really has been quite dramatic.
We're giving Joe Biden shooting off his mouth all the credit for this progress, sir.
Yes.
That's the policy of the show. We're going to start asking Joe Biden the mouth off on every issue we care about and see the rest of the country fall in line a few weeks later.
It's a big effing deal.
But I must say, what was it? Do you think that the Democratic Party, I mean, obviously you're on the right side of history, and we can tell that because we see more and more of our Republican friends and loved ones every day come over into the light and realize that gay, tax-paying citizens in a free society based on liberty have a right to marry who they want. It's the most American thing possible. It is a conservative value and a liberal value at the same time. Are you inspired, sir, to see how many Republicans are beginning to come onto your side? And do you think we'll see the RNC adopt a more, you know, marriage equality positive platform in the years to come?
I do. All of the above. And probably the best indicator for me is there are a number of bills affecting the LGBT community in Congress. And every year that I've been there, we see more and more Republican members adding on as co-sponsors. And you can literally measure the progress as you see each new GOP name added onto these bills.
Yeah.
So things are changing quickly. I think it's only a matter of time before the GOP has a marriage equality plank in its party platform. But it's going to be some time. They have a distance to go right now.
Right.
I think their party platform is worse than having no equality provision, because they basically have a equal rights provision in it, but then it says we exclude from this the LGBT community. If you're going to do that,
amazing.
You're better off not having any plank in your platform.
Yeah, but then you have people like Congressman Steve King, who just the other day introduced a bill that would ban same-sex marriages on military bases. So
right. You
still have people like him in the Republican Party. I think it might still be a while before we get an equality plank from the GOP.
It will probably be a while.
Yeah.
But I think it will happen in our lifetime, and hopefully, not even at the end of it.
Well, it would be nice to see the Cheney family stand up for the issue, besides just reaping the benefits of the work that so many liberals and libertarians have done over the years in trying to bring marriage equality about. It's great to see conservatives reap the benefits, but it'd be nice to see more conservatives stand up and take the lead on this, too.
And, you know, and there have been some. Ted Olson, for example, has been a very strong leader in terms of the litigation over Prop 8. And so there are definitely some very conservative individuals who see quite rightly this is consistent with their conservative principles. But we have a lot of work still yet ahead of us.
Yep.
One of the things that we discuss sometimes, sir, is Mitt Romney has called for he endorses a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. And I'm of the belief, and I've said this to Chris on the show before, that Mitt Romney is not really a homophobe. He just has to play that card to satisfy what he thinks the base believes. In your efforts to get Democratic legislators to sign on to this petition to include marriage equality in the party platform, have you encountered any Democrats who were loath to sign because they were afraid it might not resonate well with conservative voters in their districts?
Certainly. And, there are many Democrats from conservative parts of the country who are concerned about this issue. And even Democrats from more progressive parts of the country that still have some discomfort they have to get over. But But that's changing, and you know, I think had we made this effort a few years ago, we would have run into much greater opposition, much greater numbers of people who were, you know, trying to get their mind around this idea and still struggling with it. In terms of Mitt Romney, I think that first of all, I don't think he's going to be successful.
No, he's not. But I think he knows that.
If in some alternative universe he were, I think the you know what would happen on day one of his administration is the conservatives would turn on him because I don't think he wants to do everything they are making him carry right now. I think he would be personally very uncomfortable with it. It doesn't mean he wouldn't try to do their bidding, but he I think would. Have a very hard time on his hands and an impossible challenge to try to satisfy the conservative base of his party. And when you consider where he was as a Massachusetts governor and already how he's had to contort himself to get through the GOP primary process, I can only imagine the future contortions that would be necessary if he ever got the job.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, I got to say, it's really an honor to talk to you about this, Congressman, because it could be so easy for so many politicians to play it safe on this issue still in 2012. And I guess it comes down to, are you going to play it safe for fear of alienating voters in your district who are conservative, or are you going to stand up and do what's right? And it's really inspiring to see you leading the fight to get the Democratic Party to make this part of their platform. How can people support you in this measure, sir? Is there a way that folks can learn more about what you're trying to do and lend their support?
Absolutely, and you know the party platform committee is going to be meeting very shortly to begin discussions on this, and then it will have you know final discussions in a couple weeks. So people can go online to the party website and make their views known. They can reach out to their member of Congress and ask them to join in the letter to the party platform committee, urging them to adopt this. And reach out to their friends and relatives in other parts of the country to reach out to their members of Congress and also those that are active within the party leadership. So people should let their voices be heard, and this is exactly the right time to do it because the platform committee will make this decision fairly soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us, Representative Schiff, and for standing up for everybody in the LGBT community. Everybody appreciates it.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure and great to talk with you all. And and again, send my thoughts and prayers out to Colorado.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Representative Schiff. Talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Yeah, you know what? The president is speaking in Fort Myers, Florida right now. Let's just take a little bit of that right now.
Since 2007. And so I want all of you to know how appreciative I am. And I know many of you came here today for a campaign event. I was looking forward to having a fun conversation with you about some really important matters that we face as a country. And the differences between myself and my opponent in this election. But this morning, we woke up to news of a tragedy that reminds us of all the ways that we are united as one American family.
Absolutely.
By now, many of you know, many of you have heard that a few miles outside of Denver, in a town called Aurora, at least 12 people were killed when a gunman opened fire in a movie theater. And dozens more are being treated for injuries at a local hospital.
It's great that he's not politicizing
this. Some of the victims are being treated at a children's hospital. We're still gathering all the facts about what happened in Aurora, but what we do know is that the police have one suspect in custody, and the federal government stands ready to do whatever is necessary to bring whoever's responsible for this heinous crime to justice.
Yep. And the FBI has already been on scene, and they're working every angle. So we're going to take a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau. We'll be taking your calls next here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it. Stephanie Miller. Let me rock it. That's all I wanna do. Let me rock it. Rock it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. This is Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And over there, way, way, way over there in New York City.
There.
John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. Stephanie is not with us today because her puppy Max had a medical issue last night. He's stable this morning, so she just wanted to be by his side. So
he's actually in his stable because he's as big as a horse.
Well, right.
So
yes.
You can point that out. He is a horse-sized dog.
Exactly.
That's why she has a bridle path.
Exactly. He's sort of like a husky mastodon blend. And
right.
So we're very glad that he's doing well. And of course, we've been taking people's calls all morning at 1-800-STEPH-12, talking about this devastating tragedy. You know, it's very disappointing. I came in all set to make jokes about Mitt Romney's tax havens
we
in
all
the Caymans, and came in all set to make fun of Michelle Bachmann's latest bit of anti-Muslim bigotry. And
yeah.
Then we find out this unspeakable tragedy has happened, and it is the sort of thing that, you know, I mean, go ahead and be mad at who you want to be mad at, but we're trying to point out that this does transcend politics, and you know, what sucks about being liberal is that you've got to be the good guy, and you've got to
right.
be the adult in the room, and, you know, it would be very tempting to blame all this on the NRA or Rush Limbaugh, but until we know the facts.
Well, I got an email from somebody, and I don't know if this is true, but someone claims that he was a member of the violent faction of the Occupy movement, and I don't know that that's the case. But if it is, that's an interesting point, is that the left and right extremists meet at anarchy.
The further you go to any extreme, you meet in the, you know, the mm-hmm. crazies meet in the center.
Stalin and Hitler had a non-aggression pact for a while.
And this is what was pointed out a year ago at the Gabby Giffords shooting. You know, if you're using violence, you're not a liberal. You can't, you've given up
right.
the liberal banner when you take up arms and hurt innocent people. So.
That's right.
You know, it's important to say that, and I'd like to think that this is the sort of thing that could bring conservatives and liberals together in the face of just being there for each other in human tragedy. We may have to wait, and I know that will happen because, you know, the one thing that I can guarantee will happen from this unspeakable, awful tragedy is that Westboro Baptist Church will go there to picket funerals, and conservatives
right.
and liberals will
yep.
join arms then to despise those people for
yep.
exploiting this tragedy.
Absolutely.
So, That's the only thing that's certain. We do, I believe, Chris, have a guest now on the line who is in Aurora and
yep.
And was there last night. Is that correct?
That's right. He was at the theater. Christopher Jones, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
Oh. Good morning, Christopher. Thank you so much for calling in. First off, are you okay, sir? Were you injured last night?
No, I sir was not injured. I mean, mentally right now, as you can imagine, I'm shipping up from the whole situation just from what I've seen. I wasn't here.
We're very glad you weren't, and again, we're very grateful for you for calling us. Now, we know that there were several theaters in the complex that were screening The Dark Knight Rises at midnight, and that people in neighboring theaters were injured by bullets passing through walls. Were you, sir, in the room in the theater that suspect James Holmes allegedly, killed these people? Were you in that room?
I was indeed in that room.
Oh, my God.
We weren't even, probably about 20 to 30 minutes within to the movie. There was a very serious part in the movie. You know, everybody's keyed into the movie, and all of a sudden, you just hear this sizzling noise. And then after that, it was followed by just gunshots. But everybody kind of thought it was fire, you know, firecracker, somebody just doing a prank or something, nothing, no serious than that. And then after that, everybody started getting down and running and stuff, and that's when it just became surreal that this is actually going on. Somebody's in here shooting.
When you said a sizzling noise, do you mean like a gas coming out of a canister, or do you mean like rapid machine gun fire?
No, I guess it was from the gas in the canister.
Right.
It was like, because they threw it in, you could see like something go past the screen, because he was like on the front.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Something go past the screen, and after that, people started getting up and everything, and then the shots went off, and then that's when we got down.
Okay.
Did
you see the shooter, sir?
I could not see the shooter, but I could see the sparks of the gun.
Mm-hmm. And did you...
I was in the corner in the dark, so, you know, you really couldn't make out a person, but you
right.
could hear it, and you could see the sparks coming from the gun. And it was, like I told everybody, I heard at least 20 to 30 bullets within that time period before it stopped, if
right.
not more.
And I assume that the film continued playing during this. The lights, the house lights didn't come up. The room was still in darkness.
Oh, yeah. The room was still dark. The house lights never came up.
Mm.
And then once the shooting stopped, we ran to the opposite side of the theater to the top and got up out of there. And, you know,
that's when it was just chaotic. When we got outside, people bleeding, people, you know, unconscious, all kinds of stuff. Police just running to the scene with guns. It was like a movie.
Many reports say that people were pretending to be dead and lying on the ground, feigning injury or death in the hopes of being safe. A lot of folks were afraid to get up and run. Did you see anyone doing that? Were you there, or did you just get out as soon as you could?
Well, like I said, as soon as I got up, I just popped up, and then I ran out the back of the theater, and then I ran to my car. So
yeah.
But you could see people, you know, with bullets in their arms and legs and stuff, and just very traumatic.
Yeah, there were infants that were hit as well. And unconfirmed reports, some police say that they believe that some of the injuries may have been shrapnel and not bullets. Again, none of this is confirmed by anyone, right. But this is just, you know, we're all looking at 25 different screens of every different media outlet out there. A lot of people were reportedly also, sir, injured by just being trampled by the rush to get out of the room. Did you observe any of that?
I did observe some of that. Actually, on the way out, I was behind some people that were trying to help somebody up, and I was just telling them, come on, get him up, let's get him out of here, let's go, you know, because we didn't know if he was coming up into the stands or what happened. I just know it was a break in the shooting. And mm-hmm. At that time, everybody's just scrambling everywhere. And I don't think everybody outside the other theaters had really knew what was going on at that point, because it was a few theaters that was hosting the movie.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't that many people outside once I got out there.
And you were in Theater 9, correct? That is the screening room where this happened?
Yes, I was.
Oh, wow.
Now, did the entire multiplex empty out when this began? Or, I mean, I would imagine it was added chaos because it wasn't just one theater emptying out. It was several, correct?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Which must have made it even more confusing.
Yeah. Well, Christopher, thank you. We're so glad you're okay, and thank you so much for telling your story. Wow.
But my heart just goes out.
Yeah,
absolutely. I feel just lucky and blessed to be able to stand here and tell what happened. Because, like I said, it was just so surreal.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for telling us your story, Christopher. And we're so glad you're okay. And
thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And in New York is John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang. Stephanie is not here today. Her puppy Max took ill last night, and she was actually at the vet with him until about 1 a.m. this morning. So we are holding down the fort, and Max is actually doing fine this morning. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Stephanie and Max. But, John, we've been covering a lot of breaking news this morning, and let's just reset the scene in Aurora, Colorado. We've got Current TV's Jackie Schechner on the line. And, Jackie, what's the latest coming out of Aurora, Colorado in this shooting?
Good morning, guys. We're just continuing to hear eyewitness accounts of what happened in Colorado, as you had earlier in the hour, people talking about the scene and how traumatic it was. We know 12 dead, still 38 to 50 wounded. We're not entirely sure that exact number. Of course, it's constantly a moving target in a situation like this. Maybe a poor choice of words on my part, but you know what I mean in terms of the situation constantly changing. What we do know about James Holmes is not very much at this point, and there's plenty of people who are scouring the web for every little piece of information they can possibly find. We know he's 24. We know he lives about 5 miles away in an apartment from where the movie theater is. We know that he's about 6'3". He was born in 1987. We know that he, at this point, has no significant criminal history to speak of, no reported ties to terrorism. They think that he has acted alone. That's about the extent of information, but one of the things we want to caution people about, and we're guilty of doing this sometimes too, is you go online and you Google or you search the interwebs for some information, thinking there might be something out there. In the day and age of social media, everybody's got a Facebook page or some sort of Twitter account. town, and you want to make sure that you're not unnecessarily targeting people who have nothing to do with
right.
this.
There's exactly. more than one James Holmes
exactly.
in the Denver area.
Exactly,
yeah.
25 or so to be exact, according to Nate
yes.
Silver at 538. So what a couple of people have done, named James Holmes in the Denver area, is change their Facebook profiles, one putting up a photo that just says it wasn't me, and another
right.
one posting a note saying to people, you know, this wasn't my doing.
Oh my God.
I guess people are trying to friend him or get into his profile.
Wow,
I guess the best thing that you can do at this point is just protect yourself and make sure that you've locked down your profile and
sure.
that people understand that just because you have the same name doesn't mean you're that
right.
guy.
You're right. If you have the same name, it might be good to take down your profile for just a little bit.
So maybe, yeah, make it. I don't know if you can, you know, I know pretty much all there is to know about Facebook. I'm not sure if you can make it entirely.
You can disable it for a while.
Entirely.
Yeah.
And then get it all back. But that might not be such a bad idea.
Right.
Because people are going to be scrambling for every little nugget of information they can possibly find.
I just hope no Jim Ward ever does anything like this.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of us.
The chances are if Jim Ward does something, certainly not shooting anybody, but something quirky.
Yeah.
It's probably our Jim Ward.
Why couldn't it be someone named Hiram O'Reilly? So there's no confusion at all.
Right.
Now, Jackie, according to the Aurora Police Department, the suspect did say he had explosives at his home and that it was rigged and booby-trapped. Apparently, they've evacuated his entire apartment complex and that there is, we saw a report earlier in the day from the UK's Daily Mail that there was people reported hearing a small explosion when a police robot went into the apartment. But apparently, they're taking this guy's threats of having his place booby-trapped very seriously.
I think you have to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, if somebody is that that unbalanced to go into a movie theater and start shooting at random, you've got to take any threats that he makes seriously, and you've got to act with an overabundance of caution. I haven't seen an update on the explosives yet. You probably are scouring some of the same sources that I am. I have not seen that update yet, but it's entirely possible. Another thing that we wanted to just note on the political front, obviously, as the president said, this is not a day for politics, and people are canceling events all over the place. There's not going to be a lot of political activity, but the Obama campaign and the Romney campaign have both asked the Colorado affiliates to take down their negative advertising in Colorado in light of the shooting. So, mostly symbolic, I think, at this point, but nice to hear that both campaigns are on board with shifting the tone a bit in Colorado as we figure out what exactly happened here and why.
Wow. Well, good for them. It'd be nice to see them take them down nationwide for a day, perhaps.
Yeah, well, that would be ideal, of course, to be able to shift the tone entirely. And then, of course, obviously a lot of conversation now about guns and gun control, and that's coming up. I mean, regardless of the motives and the responsibility behind this, which I'm sure we will suss out as the morning moves on and as the days move on, but certainly plenty of chatter about gun control. Mayor Mike Bloomberg had put out a statement via Twitter about now's the time to talk about gun control and limiting access to firearms in our country, and I think that that's probably a very important conversation to be having.
It's high time you tweaked the Second Amendment a little.
You're right, Jim. It was written intended for forming
right.
militias,
right.
And at the time it was written, people had muskets, not automatic weapons. Whose only purpose was to kill people.
Yeah, you had to stop and you had to reload every time you wanted to shoot another bullet.
Having said that, the right of the people to bear arms will not be abridged,
right.
And so what does that mean? And I think that we can talk about, we can still respect the Second Amendment while still saying, hey, how do we feel about civilians being allowed to own guns that are only designed to kill people and nothing else? You don't hunt with a Glock 9.
Right.
I was in Spain just before the Gabby Gifford shooting, and a couple of friends of mine there said, how do you feel about living in a country where guns are so easily accessible? And I thought, I don't really think about it all that much on a day-to-day basis because we just grow up here having it be part of our social fabric. And then I got back and Gabby Giffords was shot, and I thought, I'd like to amend that. Now I do feel a little uncomfortable about the fact that guns are so easily available. And these sorts of incidents obviously bring the issue back into the spotlight in a glaring way.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's and again, we're not calling for increased gun control. We're not saying the NRA is to blame for this. But
there's gun violence.
I do think that, it is a moral imperative to talk about the fact that weapons are so easily attained in this society.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not taking a political stance necessarily. It's just discussing the fact that we are a society that allows such I would say, easy access to weaponry, and the discussion as to whether or not that's something, in light of these sorts of incidences, that we should talk about more often, and we should talk about on a multitude of platforms, as opposed to kind of mentioning it and letting it move on.
Exactly, and that's not an anti-gun opinion, that's just a fact. You're right,
yeah,
Jackie,
absolutely.
Guns are so easily acquired in this society.
Well,
absolutely.
Jackie, we appreciate you joining us and filling us in on everything that's been going on.
Of course, anytime, guys.
All right, and we will talk to you. We will talk to you on Monday.
Okay, you got it.
Bye-bye. All right, now we'd like to switch gears a little bit and look at the investigation portion of what went on in Aurora, Colorado. We have a private detective and former Connecticut police detective, Vito Colucci, on the line. Detective, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank
good morning.
You. Thank you for joining
good morning.
Us.
Good morning. You know, just one quick note. Next time you do a show on gun control, please have me on, because I was screaming out of my head over here.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Without screaming, let us know. Please.
Pardon me?
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Please share with us what you wanted to scream.
What the public don't understand, if they do rigid gun control, all the still bad guys and bad women out there will still have guns. They'll be able to get guns
all
any place they want. Well, anybody that wants guns will still be able to get them. Okay,
I agree that. But could there be a virtue in making it a little tougher for people? We're just talking about things like waiting periods, say, or background checks.
But think about it. If information comes out, let's go back to the subject. If information comes out about this subject here, James Holmes, and he had an impeccable background, let's say, and whether he's mentally ill now or whatever, that wasn't in the forefront, and he was allowed to get his guns. There's nothing, there's nothing in that end that can be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But to think that everything's going to be safe in this country if we outlaw guns is people
no
are really making
that.
A mistake.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know anyone who says that everything
that
will be safe.
Part. People on the street, they see a shooting like this. This is why we got to outlaw guns. This is why we got to take the guns away from everybody. All the bad guys, believe me, I worked narcotics. I worked undercover organized crime. I've been a private detective 24 years. I like to speak with some credibility about the issue because I research it. That's not going to change a thing. These people will still find a way through the black market, through people on the street, to obtain these guns, and we won't be able to get the guns.
And yet with Fast and Furious, we heard a lot of people who are normally gun rights activists outraged that it was made so much easier for criminals to get guns.
Well, yeah, right. So I didn't mean to bring that up and take it away from your topic here. But
no,
I
think it's completely related, sir. I think I'm glad you did, because I don't see how you can, take that out of the equation.
Right, of course, and rightfully so. Both sides will bring it up now after such a horrific incident like this. I can tell you one thing, guys. These people in the bomb squad and everything else, my son was in the bomb squad here in Connecticut for a long, long time, so I know how that operates. They've said goodbye to their families for several days now, okay? I can tell you that much. They have said see you whenever, because now, if you're the lead detective in a detective bureau or the FBI guy assigned to this case and you're sitting across the table from this guy and he says to you, oh, by the way, want to let you know, I got explosives in my house. In fact, when you walk in my house, you'll see a closet there. It's all rigged, blah, blah, blah. First thing you're doing as an experienced investigator is saying, why would this guy want to give me this information? He know he's done. He's 24 years old. He's gone for the rest of his life, if nothing else. Okay, why would he want to help me now? See, the cop mentality, I'm putting my cop hat back on.
Right.
The cop mentality is you got to look with him. Even though you're writing down the notes, take a right over here, left to the bathroom, this is where I put this, this is where I put that. It could be totally opposite of that. See, and these people know that. This bomb squad knows. It could be like as soon as you go in the door, as soon as you step on the rug, everything's going to go up. Meanwhile, he's telling you, go down this hallway, go over here. So, it's helpful a little bit what he's saying, but you're taking that, believe me, with a grain of salt, okay? Because this guy was out to kill people, dressed all in black, take play in the whole role, and the public needs to understand there's nothing can be done about these incidences. There's nothing that can be done about a guy walking in the food court of a mall and blowing up everything. You cannot stop these things, unfortunately. You can try to use all precautions that you can in schools, in colleges, Okay, but if somebody wants to get into that college, usually it's somebody that went there, so they know every door, every way to get in and out through a gym door, everything. You're not going to stop people, and the public needs to understand that. Now we got to worry about copycats, folks, after this incident. Now you got to worry about copycats.
Let's hope that's not the case. And I must say, one thing we can say about our society is we come together and really reject this kind of violence whenever it happens, although it happens far too frequently. Detective, earlier in the show, we were talking about the possibility that someone had let Mr. Holmes into the theater, because how could he have gotten through
the rear entrance, in the front of the theater,
the emergency exit. Now yeah. CNN is reporting that there was a door that was propped open. Would this indicate to you that perhaps either he was there earlier and did it himself, or that there might be a conspiracy and someone else was in on it?
Well, that's very good what you said, because you go to the earlier show, you leave through that exit, you prop it open, but then again, you got to hope, you know, an usher or nobody else finds it to.
And there was no earlier. And there again, there was no earlier show. He went to the first screening at midnight.
Oh, that's right, the first midnight screening of the new movie.
And those emergency exits are usually alarmed.
Yeah,
you know, so you would think that something would have been alerted.
Well, this is going to be the interesting thing over the entire weekend, because as we're speaking, you got parents en route from another state, okay? You got bomb squad at the scene. You got all the victims that are still alive, let's say, being interviewed about what they saw, what they heard. If they can get one nugget of additional information, we saw him talk quickly to this other guy, and the other guy ran away to do something. Say anything of that nature. Now, then you got another whole squad of people going through his whole computer, his cell phone, everything. By tonight, trust me, folks, they're going to know every single thing about this guy, what he eats, what he does, everything about this individual. Is it a guy that tried? There's many times something happens. A fellow tries to get on a police department or something for many years. He just can't cut it, and it's something of that nature. I mean, whoever he's mad at. A lot of times we hear the parents say, well, yeah, you know, he's been depressed lately. His fiance broke up with him, and plus he lost his job on top of it. So that's going to be the interesting thing, guys, and the listeners across the country need to understand that this is just developing, and some of these people are so badly wounded that they don't expect many of the other ones to survive, from what I'm hearing.
Right. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this guy actually worked at the theater or knew someone who did, you know.
Well, there again, you know, just like high school kids that were bullied, they know every door. I can think back a lot of times when I speak on television and everything, I speak back to high school. I know the gym door. I know the music department door. Nothing can stop you from getting in these places if you really want to. Mm-hmm. You can push back. You can push by somebody, and once you're in, you're in. You got the guns on you.
Yep.
So, you know, somebody says, hey, you got a gun. Big deal. You already ran in the building, and now you're doing. Who's going to stop you? An unarmed security guard? Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, but we got to worry about the copycats. Now we got to worry about. I can guarantee you, next time in the East Coast here, these midnight openings are very popular. I'm sure they are
too. And then this happens all the time. I mean, when Boys in the Hood opened and there was violence in one theater that weekend, for weeks you had security guards in every screening around the country. There were no further incidents. So I do hope that's an.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Believe me, I hate to wake up in the morning to see these kind of stories and be the parents and everything. It's horrible, you know.
Yeah. Vito Colucci Jr. is a former Connecticut police detective and security consultant, and it's always a pleasure to watch you on TV. Sir, thank you very much for lending your expertise to the Stephanie Miller Show this morning.
Thank you, sir. You got a great show there. Thank you.
All right. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're going to be taking a quick break, and then we'll be taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
B-I-T-C-H. Well, that wasn't nice. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And in New York City, we have John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang. Stephanie is home taking care of her puppy, Max, right now. So we wish her and Max the best. Now, John, you were talking about some of the tweets that you've been receiving about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado.
There have been. Well, one of the reasons why I'm glad to be on your show this morning, besides the fact that you and Jim are two of the sanest, most compassionate guys I know, is that you have a terrific, very diverse audience. And I love the Stephanie Miller audience, the ones that I agree with me and don't agree with me. You have one of the most intelligent and positive audiences in radio. And so, yeah, we've been getting all kinds of tweets all morning, and I've been getting all kinds from your listeners. I want to share a few, but before I do, I want to point out that Warner Brothers has canceled the Paris premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. You know, you can't be in a major city in America without seeing billions of dollars seemingly spent on advertising for this film.
Absolutely.
You've been hearing discussions about, will this be the first, you know, superhero film to get a Best Picture nomination, and will it, you know, gross more than The Avengers, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly Warner Brothers is finding that their highly acclaimed piece of art is now
marred.
Obviously marred forever. Yeah. And so, you know, kudos to Warner Brothers for having the taste to do this in light of this horrible tragedy.
In fact, on the way home from work every day, I drive past Warner Brothers Studios, and they have this big building with posters for their upcoming movies on three sides. And The Dark Knight Rises was the first movie I've ever seen that had a poster on each side of the building.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, so this is huge for them. And
we can speculate about whether it's, you know, something somehow related to the film and the content. It is a very political film.
And it has to do with terrorism.
Mm-hmm. It has to do with terrorism. It has to do with economics and economic suppression of poor and working people. You remember in the first Batman film, Liam Neeson's character Ra's al Ghul says that, you know, we want to destroy the city, we want to destroy the people in it, it's too evil, and we first tried to do it using economics, now we're trying to use violence.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of guys will want to speculate all day on this. Obviously, this guy could just be someone who chose it because he knew there'd be a lot of people there, and they have nothing to do with the content of the film.
According to a city official, the suspect was a former medical student.
Really?
Yeah, and went to a San Diego area high school, so it looks like he was from San Diego. I know that his mother lives in San Diego.
Indeed, both of his parents live in San Diego, and I believe he's from there. And again, his mother did say to the police that you've got the guy.
Yeah.
She's now traveling there. Mm. You know, I'll read a few different comments that people have written in. Holly writes, how can you make sense of this tragedy except that the NRA fosters gun violence, which, you know, is an argument we're going to hear from a lot of our friends on the left. And, you know, the NRA... some of us may blame them, some of them won't blame them. We I think can agree the NRA hasn't done a lot to stop guns spreading in the country. But a lot of calls for compassion, a lot of calls for, you know, keeping cooler heads and waiting to get the facts before we know what's up with this.
And a lot of your calls coming up next at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Chris, that's Jim, and in New York is John. We'll be right back with your calls here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at her, Steve. That is the most tasty, low-fat Stephanie Miller ever.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And in New York City, we have John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Stephanie is not here today because she's taking care of her puppy, Max, who had a medical issue last night. Max is fine. He's stable. But
He broke into the wine cabinet, didn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of.
Wine cabinet. You mean the wine armoire.
Yeah. All right. Right now, we want to go to Dan Mandis, who is a reporter with news talk station KOA in Denver. Good morning, Dan. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
What is the latest that you can give us from the shootings in Aurora?
Well, the latest really hasn't changed much. The biggest situation right now is the fact that the apartment complex of the shooter, James Holmes, 24 years old, he told police when they found him in the parking lot of the movie theater that his apartment building was booby-trapped, and it is.
It is.
So now what we're doing is people who live in the apartment building were evacuated early this morning, and they are trying now to... get the apartment building. I don't know any other way to say it. Unbooby-trapped, you know.
They're sending the robot in, correct?
Yes, they sent a robot in. They could not go through the front door. They needed to go through the window because if you go through the front door, of course, you're going to set off the rigs. So that's where we are as far as his apartment building goes. If you can pull any positive, which you cannot from this tragedy, it's that it could have been a lot worse had those bombs or whatever he had rigged up at his apartment building. It could have been a lot worse because if those had gone off, now you're talking about a 3-4 story apartment building that could have who knows what he had in there, but they could have exploded. Right now we have, it's gone from 12 now to apparently 13 dead. Okay. We still have 38 to 50 people injured. And really, it's now the questions were, what, about 4 or 5 hours? Actually, no, about 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah, about 8 hours now.
8 hours, yeah. It's been a long day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's but we're 8 hours past this now, and he's in custody. Now we're at the point where we're just asking the hows and the whys.
Right, right.
Exactly. Earlier this morning, we heard ABC's Brian Ross report that there was a Tea Party Nation member in the Denver area named Jim Holmes. And, of course, we saw a lot of controversy and outrage over this because as the day went on, it turns out that there are several Jim Holmes in the area. Do you have you heard anything about this? I know this rumor is a few hours old, but it is a very hotly contested issue. Have you heard anything about it, and has that person been cleared?
Yes, I have heard about it. And you Google James Holmes, and there are, you know, a bunch of them around the Metro Denver area. So, as far as whether it's him or not, I have no idea, but I have heard of that. Whether or not it's the same guy is something I don't know.
Right.
We don't know a lot about this guy. Apparently if it's the same guy, one traffic ticket, and that's all we know about him.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, time will tell as to whether he has an affiliation with the Tea Party group.
Right. All right. Well, Dan Mandis from KOA in Denver, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll let you get back to gathering more information.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Oh, wow.
That's really all we know. He was born in 1987.
Yep.
He's a former med student. He has one traffic ticket, and he told the police that they were bombs rigged in his apartment.
Yep. Hmm. Yep. And he's from San Diego, California. Both of his parents are from San Diego, California.
And his mother has seemingly confirmed that it's him.
Yes. When asked didn't a reporter go to her and she said, yeah, that's
the
right
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We still don't know the situation on people who are injured. We don't know the extent of the injuries. We know it's between 38 and 50 people who are injured, and so far 12 confirmed dead.
Well, Dan Mandis just said that it went up to 13.
And he'll go up to 13.
Yes. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of the shooting at the Batman premiere in Aurora, Colorado. John, you said you had some tweets that people were sending you.
Yeah,
Do you know,
yeah, because I love the audience here, and there's a lot of interesting thought, and I'm going to share some political ones as well. You know, obviously, you know, Michelle Malkin already came out criticizing the left for this before she knew anything.
Of course.
And so we don't want our friends on the left to look like a bunch of damn fools, but here's a few things. Story says, I'm saying it, no matter what the shooter had, right, left, or middle reasons, the NRA is still responsible. Newswise expert Pitch said, we speculated the Colorado shooter might have disabled the emergency exit alarm. It was likely just a regular one-way exit. Please correct. I don't think we did that. What I read on CNN.com was that the door was propped open.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about alarms being disabled. Derek Daniels.
Sometimes those doors are not alarmed. So, you know, we just don't know.
Derek writes, conservative rhetoric and policies make these tragedies more probable. It is immoral not to politicize them. That's a very interesting point of view that I think a lot of folks would agree with, that, you know, when you have this kind of legislation, you look at ALEC, you look at how the gun lobby owns politicians, how the gun lobby writes these laws, hands them to politicians who submit them as bills, and how powerful the gun lobby is. Yeah, a lot of people, men and women, and ever more conservatives, I think, would think it's immoral not to point out the political realities of how easily accessible guns are in the society.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's take a few calls. Let's go to Maria in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, Maria.
Hi. How are you, lovelies?
Good.
I'm calling just to thank you all so very much for bringing on this terrible, awfully sad day some comfort and some peace and really fantastic perspective. Don, I want to thank you in particular just for a call that came in a while ago from that gentleman who was saying this guy should be hung, and you know, you stopped him in his tracks and just said, that's not the answer. And you guys are always very consistent on nonviolence. And I cannot tell you, especially living in Chicago and with all the shootings that we have here over the summer and the deaths just keep escalating, it's really scary and it's very sad. So I just wanted really to thank you all so very much for the message that you put out there and its consistency, because it's so needed.
Oh, well,
thank you, Mario.
Thank you.
Thank you for your kind words. And let's get as much kindness in the world as we can today, please.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Anne in Washington. Oh, wait a minute. No, let's go to Teresa in Denver. She has actually been to that very theater. Teresa, thank you for calling.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Jim. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So I used to live within blocks from that theater and went there frequently. The gentleman you had on before, Andrew, he had talked about kind of, you know, some of the typical, you know, kind of facts about mass shootings and had mentioned, you know, them being in white affluent areas such as like where Columbine took place. Mm-hmm. I can say that that's not the case in this area. I don't know, you know, what that really has, you know, to kind of do with anything.
Well, it just kind of shows that this kind of thing can happen, you know, in
anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywhere. So where the gentleman, where the shooter lives, he's off of Colfax and Oswego. Mm-hmm. So he's very close to the University Hospital,
okay,
which is a teaching hospital. So saying he was a former student, you know, it's possible that that's, you know, where he,
right,
where he attended. I don't know. I can't speculate on that. Out here, we had a mass shooting in 1993. Nathan Dunlap murdered four people at a Chuck E. Cheese in Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still on death row. And one of the things I thought this morning was, this is never going to be, you know, over. This person, you know, even if he is brought to justice, he could sit on death row for 20 years. This could be, you know, this is never going to go away or be resolved. And mm-hmm. it's just such a community changing tragedy, and it's just, I just don't know. There's just no words.
Well, unfortunately, Denver has had now two community changing tragedies like this in the last 15 years.
Well, it's insane. It's, you know, just these shootings, and I get so upset about the constant negative attention that it seems like we get out here, and I don't know. You know, there's just no explanation. And, you know, one of the first things, you know, you guys have said, you know, to not politicize this, and I don't want to, but the first thing I can't help but think of is the people who say that, you know, the police and the firefighters and the first responders, they, you know, they're overpaid and, you know, fighting their unions and fighting for, you know, against the, you know, the very people who are there to help when something like this,
right,
happens. And it's so upsetting to me that on one side of the coin, you know, they scream, you know, don't take our guns away, don't take our rights away. And then the other side of the coin is, don't pay firefighters any money. What do we need,
exactly,
you know, police and firefighters for? And they don't respect them. When something like this happens, I want to call and I want to have first responders. I don't care if that's the only thing they do that day. I don't care if they sit in a firehouse all day long. When I call them because somebody has opened fire in a theater at midnight with people that had, you know, did nothing wrong. They were there to enjoy a movie. They were children. You know, one of the witnesses reported that she saw a 14-year-old girl who was dead on the steps in the theater. You know, how do you say, you know, what do you say to people that have seen this, that have had this happen, that were doing nothing wrong? That was the first son. I have a son. He's 6 years old, and he had seen some of this on the news this morning, and that was what he told me. He said, no, none of these people did anything to him, Mommy.
Exactly.
No, they didn't.
You're exactly right.
Going to a movie.
Oh, my God.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for your call, and, you know, so many questions that need to be answered, and you know, our thoughts go out to the entire Denver area for the tragedy today.
Me too. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Thank you. Wow.
They're saying now the shooter had three guns and that nine of the victims are in critical condition.
Yeah. So that's the latest. All right, we're going to take a break here. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Chris. That is Jim. John is in New York. And we'll be back with more of your calls here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And
John's Blondie.
Yes, and John
Fugelsang. That's me. Thank you.
John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau.
And I will not talk to my old band members.
We are covering, of course, the breaking news of the tragic shooting at the Batman premiere, the midnight premiere in Aurora, Colorado last night. We just found out that 13 people have now died of the shooting, and at least 38 have been injured. I've seen estimates as high as 50.
Right, and yeah. I've heard that 9 are in critical condition.
Yeah. So,
well, I want to. It's incredible. We are taking your calls for the remainder of the show at 1-800-STEPH-12. A couple of comments from the listeners, from your listeners, Chris. They thank you. Amy Sousa thanks you guys for guiding a considerate conversation. Ross C says, "I've been a gun owner all my life. I say the NRA is a terrorist group. Sick of the high road." Hmm. And I understand there's a lot of folks that are mad at me for saying we have to take the high road, and I respect you guys not wanting to hear that from me. But the fact is, go to Fox News' Facebook page and check out some of the ugliness on there. And we have a moral obligation to be better than the Michelle Malkins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have your opinion, but we can't point fingers until we learn all the facts.
Exactly.
So just phrase your outrage very, very carefully. That said, E-Coder said, "I'm sick and tired of all the crap about guns don't kill people. People do, because he would have killed less with a club."
Right.
And I'll read one more. This is just my favorite. It's very political, but you know what? God bless him. Alex Blagg wrote, "You never wake up to stories about how someone with a bunch of guns saved lives. F your Second Amendment."
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's, you know, fair enough. That is fair, I think. And you know, and so again, just let's not go blaming Rush Limbaugh or blaming people. You know, if you go to the Fox News Facebook page, you're going to need bleach for your eyes when you're done, because it's very ugly. There's a lot of people out there who are already trying to blame this on Obama and Eric Holder.
Right.
As pretense to come and take our guns away. So, you know, it's just like, let's be the same people in the room. And let's take some of your calls, Chris. Yeah.
Okay, Terry in Chandler, Arizona was in Colorado during Columbine. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to say I have a puppy named Sam also.
Aw, nice.
Yes, and Stephanie and I are the same age.
Oh, great. Ah, okay.
29, huh? Good for you.
Yes. Anyway, I lived in Boulder, Colorado when the Columbine High shooting happened. And I remember it was a rainy day. I was driving to my office in downtown Denver, and I was crying when they announced the concealed weapons law just months after the shooting. And at the very same time, simultaneously, Charlton Heston was chairing an NRA convention in Denver.
Yep. Yeah.
So basically, I am calling to refute what Detective Colucci said. Was that his name, Colucci?
Yes,
that's right. Yes, Vito Colucci.
Yeah. Okay, so I grew up in a country that has 1/10 of the population of the U.S., and 1/100,000th of the violent crimes because of gun laws. Mm-hmm. So I defy him to prove that guns don't have anything to do with violent crimes. And I defy him to defend the fact that people need guns. What are your comments, guys?
You know, I'll say to you what I said to him. I think it's completely possible to support the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms while also saying that a sane society has waiting periods, has background checks, and limits on the magazines is right, because if it, you know, when it takes time to reload, that's the time when you can save a life. And mm-hmm. I think that the founding fathers had no idea what semi-automatic weapons would do back when they were reloading muskets. When a weapon is designed only to kill people, I think we're allowed to have a debate about whether civilians should be given access to those weapons.
Mm-hmm. But why do politicians on either side evade this issue all the time? Democrats are afraid to talk about gun laws. Republicans are very blatantly obvious about their stand on guns.
I agree with you. Democrats have dropped it as an issue. I think it stopped being a good fundraiser for them. You know, I'm sorry to offend Democrats, but we all know that this is a big, after the Reagan shooting in 81, this was a powerful issue for the Democrats. They're the ones who got the Brady Bill passed. The party of Reagan didn't give a damn about gun violence even after Reagan was shot. Democrats have dropped it as an issue. But they don't talk about it, and I think we can criticize
them. But look what they're doing now. They're accusing Obama of trying to take your guns away based on absolutely no evidence.
Exactly. Well, because the NRA has one purpose, and it's not to protect your gun rights. The NRA's one purpose is to raise funds to keep the NRA going. And every anti-Eric Holder email I ever get from the NRA always has a little box at the bottom to donate. They are going to be drumming up as much controversy and as much fake controversy like Fast and Furious as they can. And this is an organization that has never wanted any limitation on guns. Our Republican friends have never wanted any limitation on guns. They get outraged over Fast and Furious because there's too many guns in the hands of criminals, and they're only doing it as an excuse to attack this president, and it's just a racket to raise money for the gun lobby.
Yep. All right. Let's go to. Let's
Sorry,
go to.
I don't have any joke. I have no jokes for this.
No, I know. None of us do. Kathy in Virginia wants to talk about the shooting. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. First, I want to say you guys have done a spectacular job this morning. I can't tell you how good it is to hear. But I wanted to give a shout out to that veteran that called earlier,
and I just wanted to.
He was spectacular, and I wanted him to know that he's the America that I grew up in and I love, and I love him, and thank you so much for your service.
Yep.
And it hadn't fallen on deaf ears, so I just wanted him to know that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
any veteran that
absolutely
does and we should, for their we country.
Should, right on. Thank you for saying so. We should also point out that some of the leading advocates of curbing gun violence are law enforcement. You know, and there's a lot of cops out there who are disgusted with how easy it is to get these weapons.
There's another point to this, too, and it is political. I am a huge Obama supporter because I see that he supports this. Use your intellect. You don't have to use these guns. It is against our nature. This man wants to correct this country. He knows how to do it. He's smart, and he wants to do it. Let him do it. God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I wish we'd spent the whole day discussing how the GOP has blocked this president's whole agenda. Let's not forget, you know, the jobs bill that they killed, 60% of it was tax cuts. The GOP doesn't care about getting the economy going. They care about having the ball.
Absolutely. All right. Matt in Chicago wants to talk about the shooting in Aurora. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Last couple calls have all tied into what I wanted to say, and you guys even touched upon it. A couple months ago, the FCC ruling, when it was, you know, for one of the few times all nine Supreme Court justices agreed with each other. One of the quotes was, "Our founding fathers had no idea what technology in the future would bring when they wrote the right to free speech."
Right.
Why don't they apply that logic to the Second Amendment? And you guys said
when
they wrote it, you know, it was a comedian years ago. I saw a comedian, and I had no idea who it was. It was probably, you know, one of those 15-minute stand-up things. Was talking about, you know, somebody trying to shoot eight people in, you know, 1776, shooting somebody, cleaning out the musket, reloading it, and shooting again.
Sounds like Bill Hicks.
And you guys, you know, I know, you know, you don't want to politicize something like this, but why not? Why the Second Amendment is the most ridiculous thing on the face of the earth, and that one person has said, you know, F the Second Amendment is totally right on the ball. I mean, cowards.
Yeah.
Coward on both sides. Cowards. And, and the Michelle Malkins of the world.
Oh.
I mean, there's words for her that, you know, you don't say to women because they get really offended. But that she's the picture.
I think Anchor Baby will suffice.
Yes, Anchor Baby will suffice. Well, we thank you for your call. Just about out of time here on the show, but John, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, Chris, I got to say I commend you guys, and I'm sorry about Steph's dog, and I hope Max is doing okay, and I'm sorry she couldn't be here today. I would have loved to have had her compassion be part of the morning, but you guys have done a great job, and I thank your audience for being such wonderful people, and I look forward to joining you all in L.A. next week.
That's
for the
right.
Show.
You are going to be in studio with us next Friday.
I will be in studio with you next Friday. I look forward to getting back to L.A.
That sounds good. And Sexy Liberal next weekend. There are still a few tickets available if you go to sexyliberal.com. And, we will.
Can I give a quote?
Very quickly.
Ralph Waldo Emerson, "All violence, all that is dreary and repels is not power, but the absence of power." Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely.